Welcome back to episode 11 of Calculated Chaos. Today I'm here with James Power, but first I'm going to have a quick word from the sponsors. So Little Collins CBD Dispensary is Ireland's premier supplier of high quality natural hemp CBD products. They have cafe in Galway and offer postal deliveries to every county in Ireland. Whether you're an athlete in training, a student, a career driven mom, retired or anywhere else in between, the Little Collins range of oils, flowers, balms, teas and more can assist and relieve you on your journey. The team is super friendly and knowledgeable. Check them out at littlecollinscbd.com. They're always happy to talk to you on the phone or in store, and all the stuff will be linked down in the description. The other sponsor is the Vitamin Shop. Galway is located on 7 Francis Street in the very centre of Galway City. It is a specialist store with high quality dietary supplements for athletes, but also for people who care about their health. On August 10th, the store organises a training seminar with Coach Camille in cooperation with the Shaolin MMA Galway, the Gym My Training. Camille is the Polish champion of wrestling and grappling. The seminar includes lecture of supplementation for martial arts led by Matt, an expert in supplementation and nutrition, and the manager of the Vitamin Shop in Galway, testing products of the Belter line and a seminar with Camille. The cost of the seminar is €25, so you should all go down and check it out. Again, all the information will be linked down below. So if anyone wants to get a sponsor on the podcast, my email will be down below as well. You can get in contact. So now they've that out of the way.
Job done.
Yeah, job done. So do you want to quickly just kind of introduce yourself briefly?
My name is James Power. I'm 18 years old. I'm from Cork. I'm Ireland's youngest professional boxer. I turned pro at 17 in Tijuana, Mexico, and I've had 4 fights since and 4 KOs.
4 KOs, yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah. So I suppose for anyone that's only just been introduced to you now, let's start from the very beginning. So what got you into boxing?
I started boxing at 9. Mm-hmm. My uncle was a trainer in Macroom Box Club. Mm-hmm. So obviously it was in the family and just try it out.
Yeah.
And I went in, done a couple of sessions one-on-one with my uncle. And then I went to the proper boxing club, Macroom.
Yeah.
And joined everyone else. And I just fell in love with it since. And it's been that every day for the last 9 years. So.
Last 9 years.
Yeah.
And
must enjoy it.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're still out 9 years later. You must be doing something right. And then, you got introduced then, and then when did, like, at eight, you can't turn pro until you're 18 in Ireland, right? So when did turning pro even come on the cards? Like, what sort of amateur career did you have?
I had a good enough amateur career.
Yeah.
I won all the counties. I think I lost one Munster, and I won 5 of them. And I was in 5 Irish finals and I won 2 of them.
Yeah.
But I was in good fights coming up and I'm a respected amateur. But turning pro was always my goal, kind of my dream since very early on, probably 10 or 11. Mm. And that was kind of what I was aiming for. And I was just waiting till I'm 18 to turn pro anyway.
Yeah.
So when the chance came to turn professional at only 17, I said, sure, why not? What am I waiting for? I've been waiting for this. So it kind of made no difference to me.
Yeah.
Turning pro at 17, turning pro at 18. But then I like doing things my own way and not going with the crowd and trying to create my own kind of little path.
Mm-hmm.
So to be the only Irish person in history to turn professional at only 17,
It
was kind of something that just pulled me towards and I made my decision up that that's what I was going to do and I was going to take my own path into the pro career.
Which is very impressive. And then what was the youngest person before you that turned, was 18 like the youngest?
I think 18, yeah.
So you just got by a year.
Yeah.
And I know, like I trained the MMA gym, I was just in Galway. I know it's kind of a big deal when a coach and a trainer decide that you're going to go pro.
Yeah.
What sort of, did you have to try and convince your coaches? Were they pushing towards pro or
Well, I obviously had to go with a pro coach because there's a split. There's amateur coaches and professional coaches in boxing. So I linked up with Declan Garrity, senior, great coach.
Mm.
You know, he taught me a lot of little tricks, little knacks to deal with the switch.
And
I was only with him for a short space of time before we went over. So we kind of had to squeeze everything in
as
close as we could. But yeah, I felt comfortable in the ring knowing those little things from Declan.
Yeah.
I didn't really have to convince anyone. My family were supportive. kind of knew that they were kind of waiting for it anyway. By the time I was 18, because I was always talking about the turning pro and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They were more excited than anything. It was a big enough decision for me.
Yeah.
You know, you're leaving the amateur. There's a big thing. What will happen when I turn pro? You know, is it the right time? Does it suit me?
Yeah.
But when the chance came and I kind of had my mind made up on the spot, it was just going over everything and making sure it was right for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone was happy.
Well, you've been very successful so far. 4-0, 4 KOs. And then, so was there much of a difference? So I know obviously having amateur fights, there's not as much on the line, but when it seems to turn pro, like, not like MMA, where if you have a loss in boxing, it can be detrimental to your career long term. Yeah. You know, how was that feeling? So it was in Tijuana, Mexico, was your first pro fight. How was that feeling walking to the ring and getting prepared for that fight when you're out there?
It was a little bit, I'm always nervous before my fights.
Yeah.
I kind of, I think it's healthy to be nervous, you know, it'll keep you alert. But I approach it like any other fight. It's a win, you know, just go in there to win.
Yeah.
I give everything I've got in every single fight I do. So it was just a matter of doing the same thing over and over again. But it was, everything was different, so there was nothing the same, you know. I went over to Tijuana, I think I arrived, next day weighed in, day after fought. So you're jet lagged, you're tired, you know, everything's new, different food. Let's just get in there and do the job. You know, you're thinking about things, but when that bell goes, it just kind of goes into autopilot.
Yeah.
You kind of go blank a little, and it's just, it does what you're going to do.
Yeah, your training comes into play.
Yeah.
And then for number 2, 3, and then obviously your last fight, 4, is like, did you start maybe easing into it? I know you still get nervous before fights, because obviously it's natural, and obviously the adrenaline you need to do. But did you start getting a little more used to it, or
more comfortable?
Yeah, more comfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. My first two fights, I kind of just went in there, just trying to take my opponent clear out of it.
Yeah.
I just wanted just cause as much damage in as much little time as possible that I could. My third fight, that was the plan: get a couple of rounds in, and that kind of went out the window. And I took him out in 60 seconds. So, you know,
the clips on YouTube.
I fit it into an Instagram video, so it was handy enough. Yeah. The whole fight was in one. But going into the 4th fight, I made a decision that I wanted 6 rounds out of it. And it was my first 6 rounder of stepping up, so I wanted to get a couple of rounds in.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was 4, I was happy with it. Just get a little bit of time. And I was relaxed, I was calm, more comfortable. Instead of rushing it, I was looking for a shot. And in the 2nd round, the opportunity came and I took the shot. But I was just waiting, and when I took it, he dropped. It was a liver shot. And he didn't recover, and the fight was stopped there and then.
Yeah.
But although it only went 2 rounds, I was a lot more comfortable and I was waiting for that one shot.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, just rushing it on him.
Yeah.
And
looking for the finish. Yeah. And then obviously, yes, you were a pro boxer, turned 17, but you didn't leave school. So,
no.
Were you in 6th year when you turned?
Yeah, I was in 6th year when I turned. And, I turned September last year. I think it was the end of September.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would have been 6th year.
Very sorry leaving 6.
Yeah, something different again.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I started business in October of leaving 6. Yeah. So, I get it.
Yeah. Take it as it comes.
Yeah, and I know, like, how did you try and balance your training as a pro athlete and also being a full-time student?
It's kind of, like, training in school, it's kind of all I've done.
Yeah.
For my entire life since I was 9, like.
Yeah.
Well, 9 started, we say 10.
Okay.
10 until now is just school, wake up, school, go home, boxing, go to bed, wake up, school, same thing. So switching wasn't much different. I was still training as hard as ever. I might have done a couple of runs at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning before going to school.
Yeah.
Leading up to fights and stuff. But it was pretty much the same thing, balancing both of them. You know. I got the same talk as I'm sure you got as well. Every leaving cert student, this is the year, knuckle down, 3 to 4 hour study a night. Yeah. I mean, you're all looking at each other going, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going to happen. So I came home and had a conversation with my mom saying, like, before I turn pro, you know, teachers are saying that we have to do 3 to 4 hour study. What you think? And she was like, honestly, if you don't turn, are you going to do 3 to 4 hour study? And I was like, no. She was like, well, there you go. Like, what difference does it make? So I think you're anyone would be able once, you know, you cut all the other bullshit out of it.
Yeah.
And just do what you want to do and just focus on, we said, like I focused on school and boxing. There's 24 hours in a day. That's enough time to do both of them.
Yeah.
You know, you're in school until, what is it, 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
Like, there's so much time afterwards to train.
Yeah.
Just do it if you want to do it. And simple as that.
Stop making excuses.
Yeah.
Hence, what that's nice, a couple of things you've hit there that's like totally linked to my channel. Because like, like a lot of people like won't start YouTube because they don't have a camera.
Yeah.
I'm getting the 1,000 subscribers, which is using a phone.
Yeah.
Like, stop making excuses. And I like the way you've said, like, we all have 24 hours in a day.
If you want to do it, just do it. Like,
and literally, now is one of the best times, especially like as in like you're building a following on social media, you know, off of
trying and
like, it's a stone build, but like obviously with all the exposure, like you've been on RT News, you've done the interview with Lady A, you've done another couple of different interviews as well.
No, the Irish people are amazing, in fairness to them. They've supported me since the start. I think in my entire career I've received about 5 bad comments, you know, that's it. Like, and there's so many people supporting me like every single day.
Yeah.
And it gets difficult every now and again, but you have to get back to them, you know. You have to answer every message. I see so many fighters and they put up a post and it's like fight day or something, they get so many messages under it and comments, and they never go to them, you know. There's never an answer or anything like that. You can ask my mother, like, when after all my fights, for the days afterwards, I'm up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, just awake, just answering messages, just going through them all, you know. But you have to get back. Like, if they're going to take the time out of their day to support me, I'm going to take the time out of my day to get back to them. Fair. It'll just take a little bit longer, but I will get there.
Jeez, fair play, because you're right. Like, a lot of fighters like, drop it and then just leave it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think we fully realise like the impact that texting someone back can have an impact on them.
Some of the messages they give as well, like, you come out of training after, you know, I'm in the sport 9 years and there's still some sparring sessions that it hurts your ego a little bit, you know, and you come out and you're like, oh, jeez. And next thing you get a text off some young lad asking questions or something, you're like, jeez, this is, you know, and it comes up, or you're an inspiration or something. Even that little thing, like, you're just going, Jesus. I feel good about myself now,
absolutely, because like,
I'm ready to spar again.
Put a beating on someone. I definitely understand that. Even like the few texts I get, as in like, like, you have a shit day, like things are not going well, and you get text someone going, hey, I've started this because of you, or I've done this because of you. Totally, like, as in like, that could be the best part of
it. It's mad, like,
it is. Yeah. The fact that you're having even a small impact on someone's life is massive, you know what I mean? And I think that is the great thing about social media, is that
the support, everyone can support each other.
And the fact that you've received very few bad comments has been great too. But I think
you just have to ignore them as well. Like, if anyone's out there, or just if you receive a bad comment, like, think about what, like, how much effort it is just to type that bad comment.
Yeah.
Like, them people aren't happy typing them comments, you know.
They're not happy.
They're living a negative life just typing them comments to other people, you know, knocking them down.
Yeah.
Your competition isn't someone else, like, you know, it's it's just you against you, and if you're going to be negative to someone else, like, what does that say about you?
It shows your race. Like, I don't think you take the time out of your day to go and write negative comments to people.
I think that was on, was it Joe Rogan's podcast with Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
Like, how much effort it is just to type negative comments, like.
Yeah.
You see it all the time, and that's one disadvantage to social media, is you have that free rein, but one advantage is the support that you get off of genuine people that want you to see you do well.
Course, and that was a great podcast as well. And
I wasn't
too sure how it was going to turn out, because I watched a lot of Rogan's podcasts. Yeah. I know yourself, because I've seen your story as well. But that was a really great insight.
Yeah.
Like, they're two very hard workers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think
always doing something. Kevin Hart is incredible, and The Rock, he's something else as well.
Yeah. Rock, Hart are like just next level sort of work ethic. And do you follow Jocko Willink?
I think I do,
he's a Navy SEAL. He gets up at 4:30 every morning, so takes a picture of his clock, takes a picture of the pool of sweat in his workout afterwards, every single morning, doesn't matter what day of the week is. Like, I love waking up to that, because I'm like, okay, or even when you wake up early, you're like, oh, I don't want to do it, and then you're like, Jocko's already up, you know.
That's a good point as well, like, everyone's saying things about social media, it's the people you follow, you know. If you're very selective with the people you follow, you know, it can be very positive, like following that person, following Kevin Hart, The Rock, you know, even people local.
Yeah, even yourself, you know, you're posting your workouts and kind of like trying to get people kind of inspired.
Yeah, like anyone that's trying to do something like positive, like that little thing, if you surround yourself with positivity, you're going to start feeling better about yourself.
Yeah, instantly.
So, you know, if you filter your phone and take out all those negative people, all those bad people, that when you look at their stuff, you're kind of feeling a little bit worse about yourself.
Yeah.
Well, then you can only improve and you can only keep getting better.
Yeah, and that is the great thing. That is one positive social media, is that you can, like, no matter the people in your life that you see day to day, you can like create a bubble on your social media, like
little environment.
Exactly. Yeah. The podcast you listen to, the music you listen to, the people you follow, as in, like, you can create a positive bubble within that. I know Gary Vee, I don't know if you've...
Yeah,
I follow Gary Vee. I love his
you
stuff.
You have to follow him.
Yeah, like, as in, like, you're not following Gary Vee.
Yeah, you have to just hit that follow right now.
Yeah, Gary's the reason I started this whole journey, and like my life has completely changed over the last year since even just starting YouTube. Like, it's crazy the journey it's been on, and he's the main instigator for that. Like, but Gary, basically, if you don't know who he is, he's a businessman, big marketing agency in New York City, a public speaker, a lot more investors, wine businesses. He's his desk goes on and on. But
the definition of an entrepreneur,
literally,
that's what he is.
Yeah, literally the definition of an entrepreneur since he was fucking so young. But definitely, he puts out great content, and like, I don't know, even for, I think for anyone, like, you know, yourself as an athlete, that's even look to him for inspiration.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What to post.
His work ethic. And
it's crazy.
His grind, really.
Yeah.
Every single day, it's just consistent.
Yeah.
And you have to respect that.
You know, absolutely. Yeah. And even like in this gym, like all the quotes on the walls and stuff, I think that's so good, you know, that's my day in day, seeing that.
Yeah, but even surrounding myself with the lads at Exceed Fitness.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Tanyan, Leon Lynch and Aaron Cooney.
Mm.
Like, I came here 2 years ago, overweight, kind of, just kind of blaming other, you know, just, oh, geez, fed up with everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, just surround yourself with them three lads and the team of lads at Exceed. You feel great about yourself, and you see how much hours they put in. Like, they're three entrepreneurs that started this business from scratch.
Yeah.
And, like, they're here every single day. I think, like, I've seen them a couple of times, and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and they could be here until 11 o'clock at night. Every single day, they'll get up again next day, do the same thing. If you can't do PT at 6, you want to do it at 5:30, I think the lads will come straight in and do it at 5:30. And just seeing that, and how positive they are, and how dedicated they are to improving their health and their mindset and themselves, really. You're just watching them grow, and I think over the 2 years I've grown myself, and they've grown, and we're all kind of just developing together and getting better. And I think it just shows for itself, like, that when you support yourself with people that just want to do good, that you're going to start getting better.
Yeah, and it's a knock-on effect. And I think you surround yourself by ambitious people and hard-working people, it's a instant, like mentally you can clear a lot. And like, I know there is a lot of talk, and I've had psychologists on the podcast talk about, you know, the increase in depression, anxiety, and links to social media and all that crap. But I definitely do think that if you make a conscious effort and cut out all the bullshit, cut out all those negative people, and surround yourself with the right people, definitely you can change a lot. And like, definitely it's nice hearing that from someone else, because I know I'd be ranting and raving about this in the podcast. So
that was true, like.
Yeah. So then obviously come back then to the whole leaving cert thing. So with regards to social life and going out, like, do you go out at all?
No, that doesn't happen.
No, not at all.
Very rarely.
Yeah.
I think I've given the same excuse, but it is the genuine reason why I can't go out every single time, and that's I'm training.
Yeah.
And, you know, my friends will take the piss out of me a little over it.
Yeah.
But it's a sacrifice you have to make.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's not being boring, it's not being, you know, stuck at home. It's choosing what you want to do and what's going to make you better, and being out all night partying isn't going to make me better. Like, I see, like, if it makes you happy, do it. Like, if you want to go out and every single night go drinking and, you know, just have a crack with the lads, you know, I want to have a crack with the lads too, but I'm not going to go drinking every night or anything like that. I know what's going to help me achieve what I want to achieve, and that's what I'm going to do. And anything that doesn't help me, I'm not going to do it. I've seen, like, since we finished school and summer started, you know, everyone's out having the sesh, cracking on, you know, tunes playing, drink in their hand, happy out, and I'm happy for them. But I'd rather be training twice a day and getting stepping step by step towards my goal.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you happy, like, you know? Yeah. So I'm not telling everyone go sprinting every morning and hitting the bag every evening or go sparring 20 rounds or anything like that. But if you wanna, like, just follow your dreams. If you wanna do something, anything, whatever it is, if you wanna be a great soccer player, if you wanna be a great basketball player, put in the time, put in the effort. Mm. You know, I might be the most talented boxer. You know, there's a lot of boxers. There's always someone better than you out there. I might be the most gifted. I might be the most technical. But I will outwork them. Like, I will put in the time and the hours and the work, really, just to turn the odds in my favour. And I think that if you just put in the work, you'll get there eventually. And that's what I've been doing. And yeah, I believe that. So hopefully it'll pay off.
Yeah. Well, it's clearly you're on the right path anyway. Yeah. But I think one of my favourite sayings, and I kind of came back to what you said there, is hard work beats talent when talent
Yeah, exactly.
Hard.
Yeah.
And like, it comes exactly back to you. And obviously being an athlete and like recovery, and like if you're partying until 3 a.m. in the morning and you have to get up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not a reality. And that's why I wanted to bring it up, because like, you do, it's like, even I can relate in a sense where like, I'm up Monday, Saturday, I'm doing work on business, and then Sundays I'm doing podcasts on Chase Monday. But like, I can't get up at 6 a.m. if I go out partying. So yes, I do go out once a week, once every 2 weeks. And yes, it's probably too much, but I definitely do agree the fact that like, people that go out all the time, it's like, again, it's what you want to get out of life. And like, I kind of battle with this myself, in the sense of, where is the balance between, like, Gary Vee works his 20s to 30s.
Yeah.
20 to 30, and didn't go out at all. And regrets it slightly that he didn't enjoy himself a little bit more. But he got to where he is now, and he hadn't done that. So I suppose it's kind of like,
it's a weird one to try and see.
You're not going to know.
But everyone has them thoughts. Like, you know, I definitely had them thoughts, you know, just going, you look at some fighters and they're 40, dedicated their entire lives to this, and they've got nowhere, and you're kind of going, geez, will I just enjoy myself? But then you have to remember, like, that's there. They done that. Yeah. You know, I'm happy trying to achieve my dream.
Yeah.
I'm not going to find that. I don't think I'd be happy with myself in 20 years to come if I spent my entire youth partying rather than changing my dream, you know? But as you said, that thing where you see everyone else doing it, or they're all partying every weekend. And I actually had a text off a young lad the other day saying, like, do you ever go out or something? And I was like, no, not really. He was like, you know, what a boring life or something like that. And I'm kind of going, yeah, well, on your standards, you know, value, that's boring. But my standards would be, if I was out every weekend, that'd be boring to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be in the gym, you know, trading it out, throwing big heavy shots with some lad, rather than outside in the bar, like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's your values. What excites you and makes you happy is what's more important.
No, absolutely. And then, I kind of want to ask you this, is how do you then try and fit in? So obviously, I suppose during school and when you're training and stuff would be way more difficult, but how do you fit in time with your friends? Like, how do you try, like, do you make conscious effort to try and do that? Because I know, like, a lot of socializing our younger age would be going out drinking at night. It wouldn't be meet up during the day. So how do you try and fit that in? Or
Well, a lot of my friends will be based around either school or boxing anyway.
Okay.
So that kind of helps.
Yeah,
like, you meet a lot of brilliant people in both regards in my school.
Mm.
They're all sportive, they're all happy, positive people that I enjoy spending time with. So you have the entire school day. You know, people in school, you spend most of your time with anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they're like family almost.
Yeah.
And then when I go to the gym or whatever, the team I have around me there, I spend time with them then.
Yeah.
But yeah, some weekends, you know, I'd do it if I wasn't doing anything else, but I'd put boxing first always.
Yeah.
There's an argument, like, is interacting with your friends more important than that? You know, yeah, it probably is for your own benefit, like your own mind.
Yeah.
But I'd put boxing as top priority over anything, you know. I think I was on the verge of missing my graduation mass because I was training, you know. So it's just that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a routine that I don't really break.
Yeah.
and I try my best not to break. It's, you know, boxing is there and everything else fits in around it.
Yeah,
that's kind of I go by.
It's very inspirational seeing like someone at our age. Like not many people have that sort of mindset at 18. And like like looking around and you see most people like it's nice to hear from another 18-year-old, because usually this conversation I'm usually having with a 25-year-old. Let's someone that's our 30-year-old, you know, or 35-year-old. Yeah. Like, you don't usually have these sort of conversations with 18-year-olds. So it's nice to see someone else kind of in the same sort of mindset, kind of very driven towards a goal. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's either if you don't put boxing first. It'll drift
away and it's gone. And another thing, I think, like I say it every now and again, there's enough, like when young lads, especially, now I never got a young girl say it to me, but I'm sure they do, a young lad saying like, do you drink or how much do you drink? And I say, I never drank. And they just look at you gobsmacked like you're from a different planet.
Yeah.
What do you mean you never drank? You're 18, you're supposed to drink. And it's kind of just looking at it going like, enough people have ruined, or well, not ruined their lives, given up on their dreams because of that, because of, you know, it's not going to work, or believing everyone else's story and going drinking. And drink has ruined enough careers.
Yeah.
It's ruined enough lives as well, but I don't want to go that dramatic.
Yeah.
It's ruined enough careers, and I've seen it ruin careers. Like, firsthand, I've seen people and they're incredible, you know, even just as amateurs, young lads, 15, and there's everyone, if they're fighting, you're there, you're going to see them. They're just talents to watch. Next thing, they start drinking, and the training fades out from 5 nights, 3 nights, to 1 night, to turn up to the gym every once a month. Next thing, they're gone, and they come back, and it's just, they're too far gone, you know, everyone's after catching up on them. So the way I look at it is, when the people are telling me like, geez, you never drank, or like, what's up there, you know, you're 18, you should be drinking, is kind of, I don't think I'll ever drink. If I never boxed again, I don't think I'll ever drink, because drink isn't ruined enough. I'm not gonna let it ruin mine as well. And that's the kind of thing I say to them young people. But it's just mad, you know. I don't know if you've seen like a person that's 12 13 14 going, what do you mean you don't drink? You're supposed to drink. What do you mean? You don't drink, and you're going, you don't have to drink.
No, you don't have to. You know? It's a choice.
Yeah. And it's not really peer pressure, because they just think it's normality. Like, it's not there being pressured into drinking. They just, that's what you do.
It's cultural. You know? Like, especially in Ireland. Like, like every event, communions, confirmations, birthday parties.
The drink is happening.
It surrounds every event in Ireland. So, like, you can understand why they're like, geez, why don't you drink? You know, because like, a lot of them would look up to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it probably is a good light, and I'm glad that you're actually saying this on camera, because I don't know if you've actually said this publicly before, the fact that you don't
drink. I don't think I have, but I actually get a mad number of messages or just conversations in general with people that young. I think the youngest I had was like 10 or something. Now, but they don't drink themselves, but they were saying like, for the next couple of years, they're probably going to like come more around it. Their friends are going to start drinking like at 13, 14, whatever it is. And they were just saying like, geez, like how would you balance drinking? You're going like, I just don't drink, you know? But like, I never had a problem going out with people that are drinking and not drinking myself. Like, I don't think that's that different, you know?
It's because you're confident enough in yourself, because like people use that as liquid confidence.
They don't
have the confidence to go out unless they have alcohol in
them.
So the fact that you're able to go out and not drink speaks a lot about your own character and how solid you are in yourself. It's not like,
You need the backing of it, like, it's another way to look at it.
And that's the way I would look at it, because like I know lads that wouldn't talk to a girl, wouldn't say a word, and as soon as you get the drink into them, they're fucking players, like, they love it.
Dan Bilzerian in the corner.
Well, in their own heads, they are. seeing that play out in reality is absolutely hilarious. And I'd say you've seen it,
because I'll have my wits about me, and you're kind of just seeing everything. And there was a couple of times where I'm the only lad that remembers that what's after happening, you know. And you're kind of going like, at weddings now and stuff. You're the only person that's after remembering what happened next morning. It's just funny. Seeing what happens, you know, the effects of drink on people. It's just funny to watch.
And then talking about DMs and stuff. Since like you've got a nice bit of media exposure and stuff, many girls sliding into your DMs.
I don't do too bad.
I'd say so.
But I kind of look at it as all smoke and mirrors, you know. Just kind of distractions. I never got asked that on a podcast before. I don't really get asked in general before.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would. Yeah, of course you would. Around fight time, I know you would.
Yeah,
when
yeah, yeah.
Clovisti is there and stuff. But just try and stay away from it. Like, not that there's a problem with it, but I'd rather just not have that links and ties.
Yeah.
At the moment when you're chasing something else, you know, it just wouldn't be fair.
Yeah, I know. And, yeah. And like, I started with kind of a, it was kind of like a lead into this, but like looking for relationships or looking at a partner, like, that is a genuine distraction. As in, like,
yeah.
It does. As in, like, we're talking about drink as a distraction. As in, like,
yeah.
Looking for relationships is a genuine distraction too.
Ah, all that, distractions.
That's why I kind of led in towards that way, because that's what I kind of want to see. Because so you kind of like, you don't really pay much attention, kind of.
No, not serious relationship, and I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Plenty of time for that afterwards.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'd be fair either when boxing is number one priority. Mm-hmm. I think if you are going to be in a serious relationship, you should be number one priority yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, better in yourself, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the next person should be, you know, high up in your priorities. And
yeah.
Wouldn't be fair if boxing is number one, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm number second. It's a bit selfish.
Yeah.
And geez, no, I can't come out and train. Why would after? It's not, I'm recovering. Can't, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's not.
Yeah, yeah,
wouldn't
no,
be fair.
No, yeah.
But, I kind of stay away from all distractions. I limit everything really outside of the gym and, you know, at home really. You know, I spend most of my time, even now with no school, it's wake up really early in the morning, have some food, probably stretch a little bit. And then my mother, she's an incredible woman to me.
Mm.
She drops me into Ballincollig, into Talbot Fitness.
Yeah.
And I train, or she drives me to Dublin in the morning, you know, 2-3 days a week.
No
to
way.
Train up there with Pete Taylor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the Coliseum gym. You know, she is amazing that way. But my day would be wake up, eat, train, come back, recover, eat again, you know, get another meal, recovering, watching Netflix, train again, come home, same thing, sleep.
Listen to Rogan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm either sleeping, eating, recovering, or training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's been my entire life. When school has ended.
Yeah.
Obviously, school was the only other addition in there.
Yeah.
So I kind of have very little time, and I don't really give any time to anything else, really.
Yeah.
Other than them four things.
And with regards then, like, do you ever, like, have those moments you go, what am I doing? As in, like, you know, I don't know, because I've heard people, like, even successful people in the career, like, have these moments where they're going to go, like, you've been doing this for, like, let's say you've been doing this for 9 years, or 8 years, 8 to 9 years, and you have a moment where you go, I'm making the right decision. Is this really what I want to do?
Little things, yeah.
Yeah, like, not a major doubt, like, even just little thoughts that kind of slip into your mind.
Yeah, you would every now and again, but I just try and brush them off, you know.
Yeah.
I take, Jason Quigley as well said this in his last, before his last fight. Love Jason. Very big fan of Jason. He's a genuine lad. I really like him. If you don't know who Jason Quigley is, he's a boxer for Golden Boy. He's from Donegal.
Mm-hmm.
World level. Very great lad. And he said about developing your mindset that so many athletes don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to look at people like Lomachenko, who pound for pound number one. Well, arguably the greatest boxer technically that has ever lived.
Yeah.
Arguably again, pound for pound number one, and all he does is develop his mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he does put in the hard work as well, but he spends so much time making his mindset bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started doing that, and even the lads here at XC that I was supposed to, surround myself with, they're big into mindset as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when them little thoughts come, you kind of just have to think about just brushing them off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will come. And you can't say that they're not going to come, because they will to everyone. Like, we spoke about Gary Vee and The Rock and Kevin Hart and all that will go. They get them thoughts too.
Mm.
But they just know how to just, that's just a thought. It's gone.
Yeah.
And again, I think you're kind of hitting at this, like, going training some days and you're kind of just going, I don't want to train.
Mm.
And you wake up, you're sore, you know, after having a hard day yesterday. You're going to do the same thing again. You're kind of going, jeez, I don't know. Will I just take a break? You know, you said, like, waking up early. Will you just lay in bed for another hour?
Yeah.
And I think consistency gets you up then.
Mm.
Like, motivation is the thing people always ask about. Oh, geez, how do you stay motivated and stuff? I don't. Like, motivation isn't a thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like, motivation will come and go. Mm-hmm. You watch a Joe Rogan podcast, you get motivation.
Yeah.
You search up on YouTube motivational videos, you'll get motivation for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's gone. Yeah, geez, yeah, I'm going to go for a run. After the run, you're sweating, you're going, geez, oh, no, the motivation's gone. Mm-hmm. It's just that dedication, that consistency, the commitment, really, is just going to get you to do it on those days that you don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. And since I turned pro, actually, I had to kind of do that myself. I spend a lot of time training on my own, especially during school, because, you know, there's no pro training. My trainer was in Dublin, so it was just the weekends with him. And I was just training myself in Talbot Fitness Ballincollig. Just me, a bag, you know, a couple of mirrors. Might get some of the whole pads every now and again. Yeah. And you kind of just have to try and push yourself. And you just have to keep remembering that, like, you're just doing this for you. No one can do the hard work for you. No one's going to live your life for you. It's you versus you. And you just have to do this for one person only, and that's yourself. You just have to keep that in the back of your head.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the 10th round in the bag, and you're like, oh, jeez, I'm not doing another one. Then you're going, no, I'll do another one.
Yeah.
And them thoughts will come that, jeez, what am I doing? Should I train? You know, should I do another round in the bag? And you just have to push through them. And the next day you wake up, they'll be gone, and you're back to yourself.
Yeah. No, that's some solid advice, definitely. So then kind of moving on, kind of back to more career-based. So I saw, and you alluded to this, was that you're now linked with Pete Taylor.
Yeah.
How did you end up linking up with him?
I was training with Declan
Garrity.
Yeah. We went over sparring. Pete Taylor does this open sparring session on a Saturday morning where anyone, any level can come and you're going to get spars.
Yeah.
So, Sean, I love sparring. I love testing myself against the best that there is. Mm-hmm. I always have. So I went over a couple of times, sparred the lads, got on well with them. They're a great bunch of people. So I clicked on that way. Mm. And then Declan, through other commitments, couldn't like train with me on the weekends. Mm. So he had to let me go. And I just said to Pete, I said, I'm without a coach. And Pete was perfectly happy with welcoming me to the team. And, you know, that was very helpful and very nice for him as well. Mm. To allow me on the team of great lads. But they're brilliant bunch of people, and they push yourself every single day. Mm. You know, there's never easy rounds in the Coliseum is where we train. There's never easy rounds there. Some days you'll be top dog and you'll get best, and some days you'll be down the bottom and you're getting pucked around. But it's good, like, and that's how you grow, you know, pushing yourself against those type of people.
Yeah.
That's how.
Was there a major cultural difference between the two gyms, like making that switch over, or...
Yeah, as in, like, the atmosphere and stuff
like that.
Yeah, the styles would be different. Mm-hmm. I think every coach brings his own style, mm-hmm. and every fighter has their own style, and it's just a matter of getting, like, who works best. Like, I've done pads with people, and I just cannot do them. Can't do them with them. Mm-hmm. And then I do pads with people, and it's perfect, you know, we click.
Yeah.
And that happens, you know, it happens a good couple of times that you do pads with someone and it clicks. But yeah, they're very different. And with Declan, it was either just me and young Declan Garrity training, whereas in the Coliseum, it's an entire team, it's a gym. Mm-hmm. And even if there's not that many people turn up to boxing, there's a whole gym of people just outside working out in the actual gym in the Coliseum, because the ring is in the corner. Mm-hmm. So you have a huge gym, then the ring, mm-hmm. so bodybuilders, weightlifters, everything, just walking around, watching sparring and stuff. It's a different atmosphere, but, you know, I take it as it comes normally. Yeah. Whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. And then how much are you... So obviously your friends, we're both in school now.
Yeah.
How often are you going up to Dublin now for training?
About 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
Normally. Again, it's only possible because of my mother.
Yeah.
You know, she drives me up. My sister trains up there too in Dublin Combat.
Okay.
She's only 11, but she's... You know, looking at her, she's more dedicated than I was at that age.
Yeah.
It's crazy, like, her work ethic, it's scary, it's on a different level.
Mm.
Like, every single day she will train. If she's not training, she is bouncing around the house, just fidgeting because she's not training.
Yeah.
And I stayed up there. I stayed up in Dublin for a week, just to try it out during midterm, or I think it was midterm. And she trained up there, and she was training twice a day when I was training twice a day.
Yeah.
And she's only 11, and I was looking at her going, Jesus Christ, like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
What,
she
gonna be like an 18 years old?
I know, yeah, but, and then another thing, when you ran about them thoughts coming into your head, like thoughts going, oh, I don't want to go to the gym, and then she's like, alright, mom, are we going to the gym now? And you're going, alright, if she's going, I'm going. Okay, yeah, that's perfect, yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
and it's just seeing how dedicated she is, like, I don't think I've ever seen her going, oh, I don't want to go training. It's what you do, you're going training, she wants to be better than someone, she's going to just train.
Yeah.
And when I go up to Dublin, she trains in the morning before me, and then I train, and obviously she goes away then, and her and my mum do something, they go shopping or something, and they wait around, and then they collect me and drive home. But like, to get training for my sister, it's like we're getting up at, I think we have to leave the house between 5:30 and 6 to get there. And she has no problem getting up at 5 o'clock so that she can train, whereas she could stay in bed for another couple of hours and still go up and have me training.
Yeah.
So I just show you, like, you know, she's incredible that way.
Yeah.
And it's, we're on about surrounding yourself with people and following them on Instagram, stuff like that. But just, even in my house, I'm not the most dedicated athlete, and I'm chasing, trying to keep up with her.
That's mad.
So it's just looking at her that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she doesn't just do boxing, you let the audience
She does Muay Thai, judo. Because she does judo, she can do a little bit of BJJ.
Yeah, yeah.
She done boxing, normal boxing for a while as well. She'll do anything, to be honest with you.
She's well decorated too. I know every time I see her, she's won another competition.
Yeah, she's won something, yeah. She is. She does well. She places all the time. It's hard to get her fights because of her age and her weight and,
of course,
you know, stuff like that. But even in, and another thing that I kind of feel strongly about is people like her. There's a couple of girls, Jodie McCarthy is one of them. I don't know if you're familiar with Jodie.
No, I'm familiar with her.
I don't think many people in Cork are even familiar with Jodie. And she's a young girl from Cork. She's 12 or 13 years old. 7-time world champion.
Oh, wow.
In Muay Thai. Dana White, Joe Rogan, they all know her. Dana, there's a strong possibility she's going to sign with Dana White in the UFC when she's older. He was texting her. I actually trained with Jodie for a little bit in Douglas Boxing Club. And Joe Rogan, like, was chatting to her and stuff like that, you know. She fights A-class, which is the highest you can do. Normally it's men. And sometimes men don't even fight A-class, they fight C and B-class. A-class in Thailand against Thai champions, like girls.
Wow.
Picks up belts, goes up weights, down weights, it doesn't matter, to fight him. And like, she defended one of her belts the other day in Thailand. Now she says in school as well, and this is another thing, I was talking to Jodie after training. She came into the gym with her school uniform.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you just come from school? She's like, no, I just came from BJJ. I was like, put you your school uniform on. Yeah, but I went from school to BJJ. I was like, okay. So he went, school, BJJ, boxing. She's like, yeah, yeah. And I went home that night and I looked at my... I was coming home training because she just done pads before me. And she was working out at home with two dumbbells and pull-up bar and a boxing bag. And I was like, text her, I was like, that's your third session today? She's like, yeah. She's like, I was feeling good, so I had 3 sessions today instead of 2. And I was just like, you know, and these are people that are doing it without recognition.
Yeah.
Like... You spoke earlier about the amount of like following and media support I've got.
Yeah.
But it kind of annoys me when like people like her who went to Thailand last week and she was fighting. I don't know if it was last week, but it was recently anyway. And she was fighting over there, defending her belt in a stadium, youth stadium in Thailand. She's known by this many people. I think she has like 45,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I don't know if many of them are from Ireland.
Yeah.
Normally when I speak about her or ask people about her, they don't know who she is, even around Cork. And I kind of, it's disappointing seeing that. Like I always say about my sister, you know, she does it every single day. She doesn't get the recognition she deserves. But even people like Jodie from the Irish people, they don't know who she is. She was fighting and I didn't see anything online. Didn't see one thing online about her. And there's so many kids like that who are putting in the work and putting in the effort that no one kind of supports or follows that much.
Yeah.
So for me, getting the opportunity that I get, like even with yourself on the podcast and like on other outlets and media pages and like RTE and Teach a Car Can at my school and stuff.
Yeah,
even like getting those chances to reach more people, I always try and tie it in. Like I mentioned to a couple of them on here, I always try and get something like that in, just try and get people out there.
Of course, yeah.
Or even use my Instagram page, just trying to get people more familiar with these other people, other athletes that don't get recognition that they deserve.
Yeah.
And it's one thing that kind of disappoints me with even like local papers and stuff like that. Like when I turned pro and like the 42, Gavin Casey, an absolute gent, you know, I go to him first thing with anything and I'll give him like the full rundown. Like when I was announcing my fight training, I tell him first, just in case he wants to do an article on it, just in case. Because he was the first person that got onto me. I think it was a Balls or Balls Lae or something.
Balls Lae,
Joe got onto me, Swartz Joe, you know, all these other people. And I think like the core crowd were the last bunch to get onto me.
Yeah.
And like even when they ring you, they're kind of going, and then, like, get those first. You're going, no, like, you were the last to get to me, I'm the last to get to you again,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'll always try and tie in, like, the younger people especially, like, you know, I always try and tie them in. Like, whenever you see, like, boxing on the newspaper or anything, it's always people are 90 years of age and they're kind of going, right, this person was awarded this and that for his accomplishment back in 40, and I'm going, okay, but there's a young person on the road that doesn't know who he is, that's putting in the work every single day, that should be on the paper to show local people that here's the next star to follow, a person to give her support to. So I'll always try and just do that with people. I know I'm going off topic a little bit, after forgetting what we're talking about really,
but like,
I just try and tie in, you know, people like my sister, like Jodie. You know, like others. I think I put up a thing about Chloe Black, and I don't want to get into it now on the podcast, about the boxing rules where you can't do multiple sports. I done a post on that because I was reading about it and I felt strongly about it. And I just wanted to get, like, if there was a chance that, you know, whatever amount of followers I have, if even like half of them see this, like, that's getting it out there.
Yeah.
And I try and do that. And you see other people just putting up muck every day. And they're not using it kind of wisely, whereas I'm not saying I'm better than any other page or anything, far from it, but I try and learn from others that, like, you know, think about what you're going to put up and try and put up something that's beneficial.
That's what I try and do. And what did you say Jodie is again?
I think she's like 12 or 13, you know?
That's
and like
impressive. Like,
if I walk down like Cork City or even Ballincollig here and start asking people about Jodie, they won't know who she is.
Yeah.
And she's a champion, like, 7 times. She's like a professional athlete. You know, I said, like, she trains like 3 times a day most days. You know, and for Dana White and all them, and Joe Rogan and all them to know her, and then people in Cork not to know her, it's kind of just, it's mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
But the least important people know, because the likes of Joe and Dana know, that means that she's very talented and that she has career prospects opening up for herself. If you don't know Dana White's present UFC and Joe Rogan, obviously UFC commentator and is one of the biggest podcasts in the world, if not probably the biggest actually. But fair play for taking the effort of using your platform, obviously, because you're getting the attention and trying to pass it on to everyone else, because you know you're seeing them put the work in day in, day out, but
Others aren't.
Fair play. And then maybe looking towards the future, then have you any fight scheduled? Any like?
I'd like to get my Irish one, you know. Obviously, like, I always get this asked to me, and I get messages. I actually think I get messages every day asking me about this. You know, when you're gonna fight again and stuff, and they're just like, why don't you fight now and why don't you fight next week? And you're kind of going, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
No, you can't just say, yeah, I'm gonna fight now. It doesn't work that way. But I'm planning on probably around September, August. I'm ready to fight right now, and nothing would make me happier than step into the ring tomorrow and fight. You know, I'm ready. I'm dedicated to giving the like supporters. I don't like saying fans because they're not fans, they're like family to me at this stage.
Yeah.
The supporters, the best possible version of me. And to do that, I'm not going to take any off seasons. I'm not just going to train for 8 weeks leading up to a fight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be putting in the graph year round, you know, every single time I can. And if I'm feeling up to it, I'm going to train just to give them the best version of me. They're buying tickets. I want them to see a professional athlete doing it. But, you know, there's things that have to get sorted as well first with management and promoters and stuff.
Yeah.
There's been a bit of a problem with the management I was with.
Okay.
So I have to try and get that sorted. And I'm kind of looking at the bigger picture. And I'm not saying that the fighting, like my homecoming, so my Irish debut isn't important. It is, you know, I can't wait to do it because I'm expecting, you know, a big support there of genuine people that want to see me win and do well.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to, like, you have to think about, like, what are you going to do afterwards, you know? I don't want to sign a 4-year contract with someone that I don't want to be with just to fight now.
Yeah,
so I just fight next month.
Yeah.
I have to get an Irish license because I don't have one. I have a Mexican license because I couldn't get an Irish license. I wasn't allowed granted it. So I actually have a Mexican license right now. I'm a Mexican boxer. So I have to try and sort out an Irish license before I can do that.
Yeah.
You know? There's so many little things that people don't see going on backstage. And, you know, you get texts of people saying, like, just fight. Come on, hurry up, fight. And so then you're kind of going, yeah, 2 seconds there, like, yeah, all right, you holding a show next week, I'll jump in. It doesn't work that way in professional boxing anyway. But yeah, nothing will make me happier to fight. I'm planning on around September. Hopefully a show happens. There's no shows set, I don't think. Now, I might be wrong, but no show has been set for me. I've been asked to fight abroad and stuff recently. I got asked to miss one of my Leaving Cert exams to fight in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
But I wasn't going to do that. I was a couple of days after or something, but I'd have to fly out. You know, I was getting the flight sorted and stuff like that. I wasn't going to do it, like, because if, like, people are going to a professional event, they want to see professional athletes performing. And I see it a lot as well with even local, not local, but, like, Irish fighters. And they're not professional about it, you know? They're on the drink leading up to fights. You know, they're eating a load of junk food. But, you know, they're not professional athletes. Like, if you're buying a ticket, I don't know how much it is, like 50, 60 euro, to see these people, you know? And they're not being professional about it. Like, that's your job, you know? Dedicate your life to it. It. You know, if you're working a job 9 to 5, you're there 9 to 5. You're not there 9 to 11, you're drinking then for the next couple of hours and then you pop back into work, you'll get fired, like.
Literally, yeah.
You know, that's the way I look at it. It's your job. Just dedicate yourself to it. No, I know it's not that simple. You're not getting paid for it. Like, another thing people think, like, oh, I didn't get paid for my fights, you know.
Your both fights at all?
No, because, like, I think, like, I was offered money for one of them because I sold, like, 4 tickets or something from lads, Irish lads actually living in San Diego, drove down to see me across the border.
Class.
But, like, that's still, you're only getting, like, was it like $16 or something? You know, you're kind of going, nah, just keep that, lad. You know, I don't want the $16. Just put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Well, like.
Do they cover flights?
My management did. Assassin Boxing, they covered. I had to pay my flights on my flights for the first one and the second one. I had to pay for my flights.
Okay.
And they covered nearly everything else. They covered flight costs and travel expenses and stuff like that, and hotels and stuff.
Yeah.
So in fairness to them, they were brilliant. They treated me well.
Yeah.
They really did. Now, there was a problem with them and every other boxer, and I'm not getting into it, but between their relationship between me and them was brilliant. They treated me like one of their own, and they had my best interests at heart. But I had to pay for my flights, on my flights to LA for the first two, and so it's just spending money casual as you do, like.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be asking them, here, I bought a Mars around the shop there, like, you know, cash out, you know.
Yeah.
But the third and the fourth, I had to pay everything.
Right.
I paid a lot, like, well, my family did. Sponsors didn't jump on board, you know. I actually thought it'd be way easier to get sponsors, like, I don't know, yourself, like, with the podcast or something, getting sponsors to help you out. I say it's hard enough too. Like,
yeah, it's tough, yeah.
But like, I say I've gone to 90% of the places in Cork and asked for sponsorship, and it was only, I got help for the, I didn't get help for the first one, I got help with the second one. I didn't get much help. I got like one sponsor for the third one. I got no help for the fourth one, but like, oh no, I don't know, to be honest. But like, I say I have like five sponsors in my entire career, financial sponsors. And they're only like local people just helping you out as much as they can.
Yeah, of course,
like, I'm not
yeah.
expecting them to put their business bankrupt, like trying to help me.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So they're just giving you a little bit, and I'm so grateful for their help. But my family have stepped up. It's my mother and my uncles, you know, my aunts, my granddad. They've stepped up and they've actually funded the majority of my career.
Wow.
And I wouldn't be able to do that without them. But then you have so many people, like, just like my classmates thought I was getting like paid a lash for these flights. Like, oh geez, you're sorted now. Sure, you don't even have to do the leaving cert. You're getting paid now, lad, and you're kind of going, yeah, that's not happening. So it's just trying to get that sorted. I have to get the management. There's just little things ticking away now, ready, and I'm always ready to fight. And if something pops up, I'll obviously tell everyone, let everyone know.
Yeah.
But right now, it's probably going to be around September.
Okay. No, it's not
too long. I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
And then, it's something that goes behind the scenes a lot of people don't actually see is, how's your weight cut?
I should be all right with a weight cut, to be honest. I've worked with nutritionists very closely. I do my own nutrition now. Just balancing it, like I could do it, but I don't think I'll be able to do my own nutrition during a wake up, because obviously it's a lot more detail and stuff.
Yeah.
I've done small ones. I haven't done any huge one yet, because my fights have been last notice. You know, I took one flight. I was sitting my pre-exam for my third fight, and then 24 hours I was in the ring. You know, so there's things like that. Like, but so I didn't. In my couple of fights I didn't have much time cutting weight. Or I was against bigger opponents because I didn't want to be, you know, jet lagged, tired, in a new environment and wake up.
And dehydrated, yeah.
So I fought a heavier, like I'll be fighting featherweight, super featherweight in Ireland. I fought at light welter in my second fight because my opponent pulled out, his opponent pulled out, and said again two opponents were like, will you fight him? And I was like, I didn't come all this way to fight no one. Yeah, I'm fighting him.
Yeah.
And people are thinking that you're getting lads. Like, there are a couple of people thought that, like, what were the level I was in against? The second fellow was an 18-year-old that wanted to win as well. Mm. You know, he has goals, he has dreams. He was bigger than me. Like, he was 2 weight divisions bigger than me. He was 18 years of age. And he came to knock me out. And, you know, he's from Mexico. So he didn't have much of a trip to get there or anything.
Yeah.
And you have all these little things that no one sees happening. But with the weight cut situation, I think I'll be alright. I'm probably the most dedicated person you'll get with food. You know, and anyone that knows, I'm probably too obsessed with it. Knows me well, knows I'm too obsessed with it. But with nutrition, you know, there's going to be no, like, I was dedicated on my nutrition anyway, but there's going to be no, like, half a true, like, a camp going, oh geez, no, I'm going to go out there now and have Chinese or something.
Yeah.
Like, you see some fighters, they're like, the weight's dropping nice, and then it's like, geez, you went up there 5 kilo, what happened? Oh, that's water weight. How did you go up 5 kilo water weight? Oh, I had a big cheat meal last night. You're going, why? Oh no, I had to have it. That never happens to me, you know, you don't have to have it. Choose. And it goes down to that, it's your choice thing again, you know, stop making excuses. But with the wake up, you're going to need people around you that know what they're doing, experienced with this, and I'm sure I get help, you know. There's enough people out there that are genuine and are great people that are experiencing this and qualified in this, and they will help me, and I've no worries about a wake up. I think it'll be perfect.
No. I think we'll wrap it up on that. We're just over the hour now, so yeah. So thank you to James first for coming on.
Thanks for coming down.
Yeah, no bother. We're down in Cork today in Ballincollig.
Yeah, is it raining?
Pissing rain.
I was wondering what happened. I was like, what's... It's one of the owners outside with the pebble just telling us to get out.
Ed, did you want to plug? Obviously, I'll link your Instagram down below.
Yeah, perfect.
Power131 underscore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me. Yeah, Power131 underscore, yeah.
And do you want to plug?
Nah, just thanks for coming down, man.
Yeah, no bother at all.
Really appreciate it and just supporting you now.
Yeah, no, thank you. No, thank
you're
you.
Killing it with the podcast at the moment. And it's just going to grow and it's great seeing other people my age doing something and just having goals. So you could have been out drinking like last night and you wouldn't have came down this morning. But you didn't. I'm happy you did, man.
No,
so thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you very much for being so easy to work with, because I know some guests can be a little more difficult, but we've been texting for months now. We've been trying to organize business, but it's been very easy to work with, I'll have to admit.
Thanks, man.
Thank you for being so good. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe to the channel, go follow James, and we will see you next week. Good night, relive.